Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network. Emotional, creative, and often comical. Welcome to another in-depth but out-of-the-ordinary look at what it's like to write. This is Writer's Block with Coin6 News anchor Jenny Hansen.
All right, we're joining me on the Writer's Block podcast. This week is Marianne McNally and Bob Welch. He is the author of Saving My Enemy. It involves Marianne's dad, Don Malarkey, a familiar name to many people in Oregon. Thanks so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks,
Jenny. Yeah, thank you. And so I don't know if you guys have known each other a long time, but I wanted to ask you just first off, you know, how did this whole project start? How did this come about?
Well, in 2007, when I was interviewing her father for his memoir, Saving My Enemy, he mentioned something about having met a German soldier, and I promptly blew it off. I didn't think it was that appropriate because we were trying to do his memoir, and this was something that happened after the war. Mm-hmm. After Don died in 2017, a couple of years later, Marianne contacted me and said, you know, I think there's another book because my dad met this German soldier after the war, and they became really good friends. At first, I was kind of skeptical. I wasn't sure it was enough for a story that we could learn enough about Fritz Engelbert, the German soldier, because everybody knew Don Malarkey as one of the Band of Brothers. Right. But in talking to his sons, Fritz Engelbert's sons, they were willing to come to America. They had letters that their father had written during the war and hundreds of photos. And I thought, wow, how could I have missed this the first time around? And so I wanted to take advantage of our second opportunity.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like such a fascinating story. And so, Marianne, talk about just the friendship that your dad did form. It sounds like decades after the war had ended and how that happened.
So they were, it was 2004, and they were invited to come over to Germany and Belgium for a meeting between some current day veterans. As a morale booster, that was his favorite thing to do, was to go over to Europe and meet with the current soldiers and give them a morale boost, anything, shake their hands and say thank you. So he ended up meeting Fritz because they invited some German soldiers also. So that's how it all began. And they just gravitated to each other. There's really no explanation for why they gravitated to each other. They were they were alike, but they were also so different. So there was something that drew them together. And my dad was always the kind of a person who, like, he always roots for the underdog. You know, he's always somebody who, if somebody doesn't have enough money, you know, he's going to help them figure out a way to do what they want to do and help. And so it could have been that piece of his personality that came out where Fritz was ended up being the only German there, wasn't he?
That's correct.
So I think my dad kind of felt, well, I need to protect him. I need to, you know, befriend him because I want him to feel welcome. My dad was never somebody who would make you feel bad because you didn't have money or you didn't grow up on the right side of the train tracks or you didn't have some highfalutin job, you know, that type of thing. He was not like that. And so I think that piece of him probably came out, and that's why he ended up really bonding to Fritz.
It's important to note that when they first met at this little pub, that one of the Easy Company soldiers, Bill Garnier, immediately sort of offended Fritz by saying, "Fritzy, if I'd met you 60 years ago, I would have killed you," and slashed his, you know, finger across his throat. And then at that point, and Fritz really got up to leave. This was his worst nightmare. He's the only German among all of these Hollywood hero soldiers. And now he's been sort of offended. He's ready to leave. But that's when Don stands up, hoists his beer in the air, and says a toast to my friend Fritz Engelbert, the new member of the Band of Brothers. And so he welcomes the enemy into the fold. And that's where everything changes.
Yeah. And were they communicating with a translator? Did I read that?
The next night, Matthias, the son of Fritz Engelbert, they sit down over a couple of beers and they start sharing their life stories. And what they find they have in common is that both of them have been horribly scarred by war. Dawn feeling the shame of having killed so many Germans, including a 16-year-old boy, and having come home when so many of his fellow soldiers had not. He used to say, you know, I'd have a drink every night, and in the bottom of my glass of scotch, I could see the face of every man in Bastogne that never made it home. And Fritz is, meanwhile, he feels all this shame for having been a pawn of Adolf Hitler. And so for 60 years, this brewed and swirled in the eddy of their souls. And suddenly they had this opportunity to sort of forgive each other. And that's what happened. Fritz said, you know, Dawn, you had no choice. Your country put a gun in your hand and said, go to war. And Dawn essentially said the same thing to Fritz. You went to Hitler Youth when you were age 10. You had no choice. And that forgiveness, that humility, that vulnerability is what really keyed their friendship. They got together two more times after that. It just soothed their soul in a way that nothing else could.
It's so crazy. Yeah. So the subtitle of the book is It's Saving My Enemy, How Two World War II Soldiers Fought Against Each Other and Later Forged a Friendship That Saved Their Lives. And Marianne, you've talked about this, and it's in the book, that meeting Fritz really kind of changed your dad. It was this big moment because he had really struggled with some of these demons your whole life.
He was somebody who drank to make the war, the vision, remembering the war go away. And so that was my childhood, was that my dad, you know, would drink. And I didn't really understand why he was drinking until we went to the world premiere party for Band of Brothers in 2001 over in Paris, France. And I was listening to a interview that he was doing with the BBC, and he talked about that. And I remember standing behind him and saying to my mom, wow, my childhood makes complete sense now. I had no idea why he was doing that. After that meeting, he needed to have forgiveness because he thought he was going to go to hell and that there was just no way around it. If you asked him, he would say, I'm going to hell because I killed too many Germans. And so he was on hospice at this time, and a hospice chaplain came in and would come in once a week and meet with my dad. And I just happened to be there when she was there. And we had this incredible 90 minutes of her basically peeling my dad back like an onion. Every layer, she knew how to work him. And I was just in amazement on how she was so in tune to how to deal with vets. And so she said, let's have a ceremony and we'll hand off all of these stories to Marianne and she'll carry them forward. And my dad said, you know, don't forget about the German soldier. Mm. And then he said he wanted to write a letter because he needed to have forgiveness. And he wanted, at this point, he had dementia. It was late stage. Mm-hmm. So he didn't understand when I said, okay, I got the yellow legal pad that he always wrote on, got a black Sharpie. We wrote a letter and I said I would copy it and I would mail it to all the German families and ask for their forgiveness. I mean, he had no idea at that point that I didn't know who these families were. There was no way for me to know. Right. But it gave him, you know, that gave him peace. But I also, in that 90 minutes, I reminded him, because at this point, because of the dementia, he had forgotten about he and Fritz giving each other forgiveness. And that at that point, so he came off hospice because he got better. He didn't die for another 5 years. But, you know, those little pieces put together really, really helped him to change his mindset. So changing his mindset by listening to Fritz and Fritz saying, it's not your fault. And obviously my dad offered that back too. But, you know, it's something that I could say that every day to him, you know, you're not going to hell, Dad. You're going to heaven. You're part of the people who saved the world. You're part of the greatest generation. There's no way you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. So he was very relieved, you know, you could see a sense of relief after Fritz, after Chaplin that we talked to. It was amazing. And there's nothing that I could ask for more than to have him die in peace, because that's just something that everyone should have that, you know. I felt that, you know, he deserved that. So we needed to figure out how to do it. And that chaplain and Fritz together did that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and Bob, it sounds like you really explore their friendship in your book. And I know you wrote an editorial recently too, on how different they were. Just, you know, their political views, for example, very different. What made that work? Because that's not what we're seeing, you know, in society today. I know you kind of compare the two.
When you look at their lives, early lives, I mean, Don's growing up in Astoria as Huckleberry Finn. He's fishing on the Nehalem River. He's dragging salmon out of the Pacific Ocean. He's living a life of freedom and of choice. You know, the world is his oyster. Meanwhile, in Germany, Fritz is part of Hitler Youth at age 10. His life has been programmed. He's being fed propaganda, and he buys into it wholeheartedly. In fact, he has friction with his father because his father doesn't buy into Hitler. And when his family is helping out a Jewish couple, Fritz is tempted to turn them in to Hitler Youth. Mm-hmm. And so very different upbringings and very different personalities. Like you said, Don, extremely conservative. Fritz, after the war, became a pacifist. He hated war. He didn't want Germany to even rearm after World War II. And yet the power of this story is that respect, forgiveness, humility can bore through all of those differences, and we can kind of find the core of our souls and at least begin there. And given what's happened in America in the last 6 years, we've got this Cold War going on, and it's pretty scary that people aren't even able to dialogue with each other anymore because the wall is so high. And you don't have to agree with somebody. You might not even like somebody, but at some point we have to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And here are these two old World War II guys who, even though they weren't into the touchy-feely sort of thing, they're the people that are inspiring me to do that. Because, you know, if two guys who fought within 5 miles of each other and whose job was to kill each other, mm-hmm, can become friends, then anybody can at least respect somebody who looks at the world differently than they do.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, they didn't have Twitter and all of that to further inflame everything. You know, yeah. I can only imagine if that was around back then. Yeah. Marianne, what would your dad, if he was around today, what would he think about what's happening in society, just given his life experience and, you know, his friendship with Fritz?
I think he would be very disappointed. He was a Republican. I mean, that's just known. He was conservative. But I don't think that this was the type of Republican Party that he could support and get behind. There are things that politically happened that there's no way that my dad would be able to accept it. And that's probably one of the biggest questions that I get is, would your dad have voted for Trump?
Yeah.
And that's really hard to answer, because I know probably what he would have done, but I don't think he would have been happy with the choice afterwards, because he wouldn't have been happy to see where the nation was going after that. Because that's the thing is, and I actually was discussing this yesterday with some people on Reddit.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. But I, you know, I told them, you know, they were all talking about, well, you know, your dad hated Webster and your dad this and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, you don't have to like everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these men, there are so many of them. There's no way they all liked each other. I mean, it's just a given, but they would die for each other.
Yeah.
They would lay their life down and die for each other. Just because they didn't care for them as a person doesn't mean that he wouldn't have protected them or been there for them. That's so much the difference of our world nowadays. And you have so much anonymity. And so nobody knows who's saying what. So it's like this free for all, you know. Well, like Bob said, we do need to have some open dialogue and have some discussions about it.
It does. It's very polarized right now. Just the the country. Yeah. That must be such a unique position for you to be in, because you're, for anyone listening right now, we mentioned Band of Brothers several times, but your dad was, in case anyone listening didn't know this, he was one of the featured people in Band of Brothers, one of the featured soldiers. And so he kind of became this celebrity later on. And then now it sounds like you, you know, are on the forums and I've got, you know, this book that Bob wrote. So it's something that continues in your life too, getting his message out.
Well, I promised my dad that I would do that.
Yeah.
I would keep the stories alive. I wouldn't let people forget. And in fact, the first day that my husband and I met Bob and pitched this idea that we had, I couldn't even get through the lunch without crying because I was so emotional about the passion of this. And I really felt that this was necessary, that it was necessary to have this story of forgiveness get out there, and it needed to get out as fast as it could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds fascinating. Do you guys think that, because Band of Brothers was a book, are we going to see this? I mean, it sounds like something you would see on the small screen or the big screen.
I definitely think that it has movie potential, and we've already had a couple of nibbles in that direction, because let's face it, there's an awful lot of war movies out there that are sad to begin with and sad to end with, but this is a war story with a happy ending. And in some ways it's a overcoming war story. And the word that I keep coming back to, Jenny, is courage. When I look at America today, there's so few people who have the courage to do something bold to try to build a bridge to somebody. Instead, we cower with our own clan, our own tribe, and then we hurl grenades over the wall. And if you think of this story, it started in 2004 because a sergeant in Iraq, again, wanted to encourage his men and women who were stationed in Germany. So Billy Maloney, he had the courage to invite the Easy Company guys to come to Germany to hoist a few beers and to invite some Germans. I mean, that took a lot of courage. And then when Fritz was kind of getting dissed by Wild Bill Garnier, it was Don Mularkey who had the courage to hoist his beer and say, hey, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's welcome this guy. You know, it's been 60 years. He doesn't have to be our enemy. It took courage for Fritz to show up in the first place. And then it took courage, and this is something we haven't mentioned, in 2017 for Marion to invite the sons of Fritz Engelbert to Portland, Oregon, to be part of an Easy Company reunion without asking the board, without asking anybody. She just, I mean, these are the sons and daughters and the nephews and nieces of guys, some of whom died at the hands of the Germans. And yet she's inviting these two Germans to come to this reunion in 2017. And they're warmly embraced. So when we have the courage to step forward, great things can happen. And the legacy of Don and Fritz is that Marion and Volker and Matthias are best of friends, like brothers and sisters now. This can happen if somebody has the courage at first to step forward and try to break down the wall.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, if you, Marianne, if you'd kept in touch with the children of Fritz. So you have, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much daily.
Yeah, really? Oh, wow. Yeah, are they on the Reddit forums too?
No, but so they have WhatsApp, you know, so we communicate through WhatsApp a lot. Yeah. I mean, they almost every night when they go to bed, so it's morning here, they'll send a text and say goodnight to Oregon. You know, we love you. And then I do the same thing when I go to bed. I'll say goodnight to Germany and talk to you tomorrow. And, you know, we, they're just such giving, happy people that they have no agenda whatsoever. You know, this was not about them. It was me pushing them and saying, we need to get Fritz's story out. This needs to be told. We need to get their story together out. And when Bob was writing the book and he was like comparing how much of the book is about Don, how much of the book is about Fritz, he said, he called or texted, I can't remember, and said, Marianne, the book is probably about 60% about Fritz. And I'm like, that's fine. I care about my dad. I'm not saying I don't care, but that is a story that it just needed more. He needed to tell more background on it, because most people that probably are going to buy this book have read all these other from the veterans.
Well, we don't know that perspective mostly, right?
Yeah. And so we needed to know. And I was so happy that I could help get their story out. And like their family is just, they're so excited to just even hear their dad's voice, not voice, but name over the, you know, over these podcasts that are going on. And they just said, it's so surreal to hear people talking about my dad. My dad was a German soldier, you know, and they are loving and giving and just, they are salt of the earth people, all of them. They are, they will do anything. I mean, when Bob said, will you come to Oregon and do interviews? And they're like, when? Tomorrow? Do you want us to jump on a plane? I mean, they were ready. Yeah, we'll do it. They were so excited to just be there.
Yeah, this is exciting. I'm excited to see it someday in the on the red carpet. See all of you there honoring your dad and Fritz. And people, they can buy this book anywhere, right? Amazon, wherever they get their books, Powell's, wherever. Yep. Yeah. Well, it's exciting. Do you guys have anything else planned at this point, or are you just kind of making the rounds right now, getting the word out?
We're just kind of getting the word out, and the response has been so positive. And I think part of it is because where we are as a country, where a story like this is just magnified as being all the more incredible because it's such a dark time, and people build these walls around each other. And yet here's a couple of guys who figured it out. So I honor Volker and Matthias. The deciding factor for me was, were they willing to come to America? And when they said that, I was like all in. And I think we've traded 757 emails in 9 months. They provided letters. When I started reading these letters from their father in World War II, it's like I suddenly realized how biased I had been as a kid growing up playing Army. The Germans were always this faceless enemy. They didn't have moms. They didn't pray to God in their foxholes like the Americans did. And suddenly I realized, wow, this guy wanted to go home for Christmas. He loved his mom and dad. He hated war. He was sick of it. And it's given me a deeper appreciation for people who aren't like me. And I just realized how easily it is to hold biases that we don't even see.
Yeah, people think their experience is the only experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Well, I really appreciate Bob and Marianne for you taking the time to talk to me today. It sounds like it's going to be just a fascinating read. Can't wait to get my own copy and check it out. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Jenny.
The Coin Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from Coin6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch Coin6 News at 10 on Portland CW, a full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family. See why more people are switching to Coin6 News at 10 on Portland CW.